Yo, Bruce Sophia here. Love for you to follow me on Twitter at Bruce Sophia as we explore the rich heritage of our Christian faith.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
We're in Genesis, finally returning to the book of Genesis, chapter 24, the marriage of Isaac, because the whole chapter deals with the marriage of Isaac. I have renamed it simply because of the topic of the sermon for the next 2 weeks. And the title of the sermon is Lord, How Do I Know?
It's an ever-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Today on Change by the Word, we continue our study in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, as we look into the marriage of Isaac.
Yes, and actually, Blaine, we have three parts to the sermon, Lord, How Do I Know?
Well, there's a $1,000 question, huh?
Yeah, maybe $1 million
question. Maybe $1 million, you're right.
I mean, how many times in our life do we say, Lord, how do I know?
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? All throughout Scripture. Men that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as men of faith,
right?
Over and over again, they say, Lord, how do I know?
Right. Yeah.
For instance, Hezekiah, if you recollect, when the Lord told him, put your household in order, I'm going to take your life, it's time to go. He turned to the wall, he cries out to God. God gives him 15 years, and he says to him, and the prophet comes in and says, God's going to give you 15 years.
Yeah.
So he says to the prophet, how will I know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, God just told you this is what I'm going to do, and yet you're saying to me, how do I know? And if you remember, it was the sundial.
That's
right. You can make the sundial go up, or you can make the sundial go down.
Right.
Well, it's nothing for the sundial to go down the steps, so let's make sure the sundial goes up the steps. Gideon did the same thing. Remember, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon.
Right.
And he says, he calls him mighty warrior, tells him what to do, and he says, how do I know this is the Lord?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he puts out that fleece, you remember.
Yeah.
And the first time the fleece is wet, and he says, okay, if this is really God, then let's do this. Let's make the fleece dry and the ground wet.
Right.
So all throughout Scripture, people say, Lord, how do I know?
Yeah.
It's our humanity.
Yep.
And God is patient with us.
Yes, he is.
And he gives us a sign.
Absolutely.
And so this three-part series is, Lord, how do I know? And it's all based around Abraham, who's an old man.
Mm.
You know, we start with Genesis, the first 14, Genesis 24. It's called Isaac and Rebekah. It's the story of Isaac and Rebekah.
Right.
And it says, Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And he said to his senior servant, the one in charge of all that he had. It's interesting. We often talk about this. You know, in the Old Testament, you see David who had 19 sons.
Right.
By the way, only by his wives. He had sons by his concubines.
Right.
I never noticed that. I was reading it the other day. It says these were the sons by David's 10 wives, and he had sons by his concubines. So he could have had another 19 sons.
Or 39.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Right. But they all had what we would call today nannies.
Yeah, of course.
The scripture actually gives us the name of the person who attended to David's sons.
Mm.
So it was not uncustomary in this day to have a servant.
Right.
Yeah. If you remember, Leah and Rachel had handmaidens.
That's right.
That's what they eventually became concubines because they wanted more children credited to their names.
Yeah.
So they would give that maidservant to their husband. Phew, could you picture those dynamics today?
It boggles my mind how God used humans to populate the earth.
Well, it's
go from Adam and Eve. Well, I mean, things start to go down, but even when you get to Adam,
I mean, Abraham, gee, if you look at today.
No, but I'm thinking look at the blended family and all the problems we had. You talk about blended families.
Yeah.
You know, here you had just take Jacob, for instance. So he's married to Rachel and Leah.
Yeah.
They have concubines. They all have kids. Can you picture the dynamics? Here's David, 10 wives, 19 children by his wives. God only knows how many children by his concubines. Could you picture the dynamics in that family?
Yeah, if you looked at the town of Saul, it would all be your family.
It'd be crazy. You could. I hate to say it, but you talk about nitpicking and arguing and fighting and who's this belongs to me. No, that's my son's, and no, that's my mom's. And oh, my gracious.
Abraham would be going, now, which one of you kids are mine? What's your name? Because there were so many. Yeah.
Yeah, so in this case, you know, Abraham has one son of promise,
right?
Isaac.
Yes.
Ishmael's already been sent off with his mother Hagar, and he's old, and his son doesn't have a wife. And so he's thinking, you know, everything that I have, what's going to happen to it?
Right.
I have a son, has no children.
Yeah.
What? Who am I going to give this to?
Right, legacy. Right.
Yeah, initially he had said to the Lord before Isaac was born, what am I going to do, give this all to my servant?
Right.
Which says he really thought highly of a servant, by the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely, that's right.
You know, he could have given it to a relative.
Yep.
He had Lot.
That's right.
And that's the one nephew that's named, but he had a brother. I mean, we could go on and on.
Right.
So anyway, so what we have here is this ancient Jewish custom is revealed. That he asks his servant to put his hand under his thigh. This was a sacred gesture. It represented the organs of regeneration.
Mm.
When the hand was put underneath the thigh, it was a commitment to say, not only do you have my word, but we're talking about generations to come. So, you remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he would not let the Lord go until he blessed him. And what's blessed? He touches his thigh, chapter 20, 32. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that from that point on, the Israelite wouldn't eat the sinew that was touched to the hip.
Right.
But it's the thigh bone connected to the hip bone connected to thigh bone, walking down or, you know, walking up, whichever way we want to do it. So the servant has said to Abraham, I'm going to find a wife for Isaac. I'll go to your kin. Then in verse 8, we see that it's all relational to the seed of promise, which is Isaac. In verse 11, we see another custom. The women drew water in the evening, not at noon, as was in the case of the woman at the well,
right,
which points out the supernatural meeting of John in chapter 4 of Jesus and the woman at the well, because the women drew in the evening because the men had taken care of the water drawing at the noon.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
What's beautiful about Eliezer here, Blaine, is that he listens to his master. And when he gets there, he prays specifically.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't do a generic prayer.
Right.
And may I say, if you pray generically, you won't know if you get an answer or you don't, because your prayer is so general. Yeah. How do you know if God answered it?
Right.
So he's specific. And he says, Lord, let the woman say to me, when I say, do you want a drink, that she would draw water for me and my camels.
That way I'll know.
That way I'll know.
Direct and to the point.
So it's exactly what happens, but he's not done. You know, when he gets to the household, he again says, Lord, how do I know?
Right.
You know, he thinks, well, wow, Lord, but maybe this is coincidence. Maybe it just so happened that, you know, she said to me because she was kind, and he meets Laban, and, you know, we have this whole mess, the parents. So he meets Laban, who is eventually Jacob's uncle. And this guy's a conniver from day one. He pulls him into the house because he sees all that was brought by Eliezer. The gold, the rings, you know, the camels loaded down with all these gifts. Brings him in. And then Eliezer prays again. He says, Lord, how do I know?
He's got to know for sure, right?
Yes. And that's what we'll pick up.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
We're in Genesis, finally returning to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. While you're finding it, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would visit us this morning with your presence. You already have visited us this morning with your presence, but open our minds and our hearts to receive from you the word that you would have for us. For that word brings victory to our personal lives and furthers the kingdom of God. And we need that this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Now before we go to Genesis chapter 24, just so we can stay in sequence, chapter 23, which we'll cover in about 2 minutes. Chapter 23 is the death and burial of Sarah. I'll give you a little history here. Sarah is the only woman whose age is mentioned at death. Verse 1, chapter 23. She is 127 years old. She's the only woman. So maybe that's been a cultural thing since way back that women just didn't tell their age. I don't know. But here it does. It tells us how old Sarah is, and I'm sure it's because it makes us recognize the miracle of the birth of Isaac. Secondly, she died in Hebron. And there are some facts about Hebron that I'd like you to know. It was conquered by Joshua. It was given to Caleb. It served as David's capital for 7 years, the first 7 years of his reign. And it was where Abraham and Jacob were both buried, in Hebron. Now, Sarah was buried in a field called Machpelah. And when we were in Israel in 1980, we had a chance to see the burial place, now considered a holy shrine by the Mohammeds. In fact, Jew or Christian is not allowed to enter the Machpelah. It is supposedly the holiest, one of the holiest shrines in Mohammedism, and it is there. It's built. In fact, it's inside of a huge mosque. It's right inside of the mosque, and Jew nor Christian is allowed to enter. Only those of the Muslim faith. So just some facts from chapter 23, and now let us move to chapter 24. Actually, chapter 24 should be entitled The Marriage of Isaac, because the whole chapter deals with the marriage of Isaac. I have renamed it simply because of the topic of the sermon for the next 2 weeks. And the title of the sermon is Lord, How Do I Know? How many times in your own personal life have you said, Lord, how do I know what's right? I don't know what direction to take here. I don't know what decision to make here. And this chapter deals with that question, Lord, how do I know? I just felt it was an appropriate title. So if you would, chapter 24, let us read together the first 14 verses of Genesis 24. And let us stand as we read. Actually, I'm going to read and comment, so I won't have you stand through all 14 verses, okay? Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. And he said to the chief servant in his household, by the way, chief servant Or if you have a King James, possibly a New American Standard, it says the eldest or the oldest servant. And it doesn't necessarily mean in age. It does mean in position. This servant was Eliezer, whom at one time he said, that's who's going to inherit all that I own, Lord, Eliezer of Damascus, because you haven't given me an heir. But this is the chief servant. And he said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living. Now, ancient Jewish expositors that are not recent expositors, but one who have grown up in the cultures of Judaism, tell us that this putting the hand under the thigh was a most sacred gesture. Most of our gestures today are sort of vulgar gestures if they're given, and you know what I mean. But this gesture was a most sacred gesture, and it represented the organs of reproduction. It's exactly what it represented. And if you recall, when Jacob wrestled with the angel, who when he finished wrestling said, I have wrestled with the Lord and have overcome. That physical wrestling match, that angel who Jacob wrestled with, was the angel of the Lord, and in actuality, it was, there's a technical word for it, it's a theophany. It's when God appeared in the flesh before Jesus. And he actually wrestled with the Son of Man. And you'll notice that when he wrestled, he overcame him. And in overcoming him, he said to the angel of the Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm going to hold on until you bless. And you recall what the angel did. He touched the hollow of his thigh. Now, put this together with the gesture of putting the hand under the thigh. Sacred, representing the organs of reproduction. And what God was doing here, when you understand this cultural gesture, was he was blessing Jacob and saying to him that you're going to have children, and I will not only bless you, but I will bless your children and your future generations. It gives us some light onto the significance of the gesture. Now let's continue to read. The servant asked him, verse 5, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take my son? Excuse me. Unwilling to come back with me to this land. Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Verse 6. Abraham says, make sure that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring or your seed, I will give this land. He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from here. It says Abraham justified by faith. Notice what Abraham's saying. Look at the faith of this man that's been cultured over his years in walking with the Lord. He says, God's going to send an angel before you, Eliezer, and take you to the right woman. Only do not take my son back there. This Isaac is the seed of promise. Abraham says, don't put him back in that land that God brought us from. I think it says something to us today. Don't go back to what God has delivered you from. Most Christians, when they go back to the sin that God has delivered them from, they enter that sin and participate in it in a much stronger or worse way than they did when they were first there. Do you remember the person that God cast the demon out of? And he said, I made your house clean. And the Lord said, put something in its place. In other words, put me in its place. Because if you don't, that demon will go and get seven others and come back and take residence. Don't go back to what God's delivered you from. And too many Christians today never separate themselves from what God has led them out of. And therefore, their lives are never victorious. Let's continue to read. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. In verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of the good things from his master. Actually, I sort of like the King James reading here. It says, and all the goods of his master were in his care or in his hand. In other words, God had given to Eliezer, who was his steward or his servant, the responsibility of running his whole household. All the administration God, Abraham, had given to this servant, Eliezer, just as Pharaoh had given Joseph the privilege or the honor of running his whole kingdom, except for the food he ate, and that was because of certain cultural stipulations. He set out for northwest Mesopotamia, and on his way he came to a town, Nahor. And he had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town, and it was towards evening, the time that the women go out to draw water. And then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, your friends sense that your God is different than theirs. Eliezer said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. In other words, my master's God is different from the gods where we came from.
So for those of you who have yet prayed this prayer with me, say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I am a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Now, for every one of you who prayed that prayer, blessings and congratulations.
Are you saved? Not sure? Well, we have designed a book to help you with your new decision to receive Christ. Those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce today, we would love to send you an ABC pamphlet and a free guidebook entitled, What Now? Just call us at 1-800-CHANGE. That's 1-800-242-6433. Change by the Word is a listener-supported radio ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus. We constantly hear from not only those listening in the United States, but from 70 nations all around the world. That only happens through the generous gifts of our Change by the Word partners, we affectionately call good saints. Those of you who have been blessed by Change by the Word believe its message is worth sharing. Consider partnering with Change by the Word. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW on the top toolbar, or simply call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433. And join our Good Sam team. Our prayer is to see 260 new Good Sams each year. Change by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
How does one know when sex is telling the truth? I'm Bruce Sophia, here to tell you about my latest powerful pocket-sized book, Love, Lust, and Lies. In this book, we explore what truly makes for meaningful and lasting relationships. Pre-order your copy today and receive 29% off the retail price. Call 1-855-455-7728 or visit hijacklife.com.